Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts Brains, welcome home. Woo! Where are we at, Esther? That's right. We are here at the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. We are on the edge, and we are not playing. We are just saying. I'm here with Esther Owoni. We all talk about functional medicine. You know, what's the difference between traditional pharmaceutical medicine, holistic approach, and functional medicine? Where does the rubber meet the road? Coaching, how to make the transition. You know, a lot of Easternized medicine is about prevention, and we're working that way. However, we're about sustaining, cutting it out, or restorative, you know, putting in some metal or a machine or something. So all of that. But Esther, she works in the field, and she's going to give us her perspective and just some great cutting edge tips. And we're gonna ask her some fun questions, probably some questions she had never been asked before. Make y'all laugh. All right, Esther, welcome to the edge. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing great. Thank you so much for allowing me to come here and share my story and share myself.
Absolutely. I just tell people my brains have just been so happy. The smiles on them just make my heart skip a beat. I'm doing good. So tell us a little bit about you. You're down there in the Carolinas. I've never been to the Carolinas. That's always someplace I wanted to visit. Me and Mr. Magnificent going to take a car trip down there. How'd you end up in North Carolina, of all places?
I know. So I have been in North Carolina for about 23 years now. I'm originally from Kenya. Came to this country about 23 years ago. We first landed, actually my mother had applied for a green card, and it's like a lottery. And she won, she brought her family.
What?
To say that she you know, people win a green card, people win a lottery and win money. We won a lottery of a lifetime.
Wow, that is beautiful.
A lifestyle, yes, yes. And so we first landed in New Jersey, and then a year after staying there, we decided to move down to North Carolina. My dad had visited and liked the place. And so that's how I ended up here. I went to school in North Carolina. I never moved out of here.
Tell us about the life in Kenya. What kind of life did you have in Kenya? What do you miss about it?
Okay, so I do miss the calmness of the people, as in it's not always on the go. People are not always on the go. People will stop and say hi. When I last visited, they, you know, pull out their hand. That's pre-COVID. And, you know, you shake hands and they say, how are you doing? Like, come on and let's have tea. And, you know, they have time to talk, that conversation. That's something I miss here.
You know what? Yeah, now here is the hustle and the bustle and the grind, and people are so cotton picking angry. Brains, I'm disappointed at you ones that are angry. They are, you know, just for anything. You know, they have no patience. And you just don't realize, just take your time. Just, you know, I love islands, you know, like, you know, Jamaica and the Bahamas, mm-hmm. and, you know, just really, and Africa as well. Everything is, you know, it's in its own time. It's going to happen. We don't do that here, you know, and you're a busy woman yourself. You are a mother of three and a wife and hold a job. How do you keep work-life balance and smile on your face?
Smile on my face. I think the smile is there, but basically I gotta communicate what's going on. We gotta communicate, what are we doing this week? What's happening? and have the people around me understand that we are doing everything, trying to make it, really. So a lot of communication, the kids know where they're supposed to be, the parents, we know where we're supposed to be, and keeping a routine. And then also there is the convenience of this fast world where you can get your stuff delivered. You don't have to go places. You can avoid things that you don't need to do.
Right. Well, let me ask you something. You know, you're a mother of three. So is this a well-tuned machine? It's a teamwork. Are you a good delegator? Do you tell them, you know, exactly what to do? Or are you the negotiator?
Oh, gosh. I think I negotiate. I'm terrible at delegating, but I try. I negotiate more, I think.
I'm bossy. I'm delegating. I'm telling you what to do. It's three kids, but then, you know, again, it's each individual's personality. Some people don't take, you know, that strongness, that strong hand. So, you know, what's your husband like? Is he, you know, is he a negotiator or is he a disciplinarian?
Disciplinarian, and I'm glad because as they grow older, I fail at that. Mm-hmm. I have my own upbringing, beliefs and thoughts, or maybe things that hold me back from being such a disciplinarian. So, you know, he tends to take that.
What was the culture like growing up in Kenya for, you know, young women? Were you really kind of thrust forward to pursue an education get married, have a family? Every family's different. I get that. But overall, the culture there.
It's going towards having every woman get educated, but it was not always the same way. Especially in the area I grew up, I really did see a lot of, I would say, domestic violence. Wasn't too encouraging. A lot of women, as I saw even growing up, if a woman or a young girl ended up pregnant in the, you know, in high school or something like that, they dropped out of school. And that's one thing I was never okay with. I would love to go back and say, okay, that is not right.
Absolutely. You know, if you can work in the field or in the marketplace or weave baskets with a baby on your hip, you can do it with a book in your hand.
Totally. And it's changing. But that's one thing that was going on that I never liked. So women, it's changing, but they did not have as much opportunity as I grew up. But when I go visit now, I see that it's changing to where more in, you know, offices and education.
For influence and stuff. That's really good. So you came, you won the lottery. I can't believe that. That's a blessing. Mm-hmm. So you won the lottery. You came to New York. You moved to North Carolina. You went to college. And where are you now?
Oh, April, I gotta tell you before I tell you that. As a young child, you know, in Kenya, we had a lot of malaria. And so whenever we went to the hospital, there was no medicine. And so they tell, you know, the doctors or nurses will tell you, just go buy medicine from the pharmacy and then come back and we'll treat you with that medication. Maybe it's an injectable. And it's, you know, if you don't have the money, you don't get treated. And it was, you know, a dire situation. But obviously, when I went to the pharmacy, my mom was a teacher. We could buy medicine. And I saw the pharmacist there. They had what the people needed. And they were not as, you know, they were not telling people, get out of here, like the hospital was. And so, you know, I thought, I want to be a pharmacist when I grow up. But what happened is that's also felt like a far-fetched dream because you had to have money to go to school, all that kind of thing. And so winning the lottery to come here meant I had that opportunity. So you see, I came here, went to school. I am a pharmacist now.
Wow. And so now you're expanding that. You're diversifying a little bit, editing and shifting, because you see the effects that medicines have on the body. And I say that in a good way. Girl, I don't know what I would do without some Tylenol. You know, but, you know, insulin and cancer treatments, I get all of that. Okay. But I also get the fact that big pharma is big business.
Oh, yeah.
And what do you do? You don't have a choice, really. You don't have a choice. You got to go by your doctor's recommendation if it makes you feel better long term. But I want you to explain how you're going to incorporate functional medicine in your fields of study.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. So, yes, I've practiced in the pharmacy field for about 15 years. And yes, I appreciate the training I received. It's really great. It tells you when you have this ill, this is the pill you get. And it works. Obviously, they've done studies and this is what they've come up with, and it's great. Where functional medicine comes in for me is when I just taking care of patients throughout my career, I just see the same people come back and they've not gotten better, mm-hmm. except they've gotten more medication in their, you know, it's a pill burden. They have more and more medication to take.
I know. My mother passed away, girl. She was taking like 20 pills a day. And the wear and tear, just, you know, she would taste the medication. She had lost her taste of sense and smell, but she could taste the medication. She was taking such a barrage of them. And what is going, you know, and we know that we don't ever drink enough water when we take something. So it has to digest in the enzymes and in your body. Some of them cause constipation. It's just an endless cycle, but what are you going to do? So tell me about functional medicine. What is that?
Yes. And so I saw that that's what was happening with my patients. So I thought I need to dig deeper because I wasn't getting satisfaction anymore. I mean, 15 years in this and seeing the same results doesn't feel satisfying anymore. And that's how I ran into the field of functional medicine. This is where individuals, you're able to get to the root cause of a condition, chronic conditions that do not have, you know, you're told that you're just going to manage them with medicine. But in this field, people go upstream. We go upstream to find what's really causing it. Why are you in this situation? And I chose to work with individuals with diabetes, and we look at how do you end up with diabetes? Why is it the issue you are dealing with? Because our genes or our body is supposed to help us or take care of us. But then when something falls out of line, we get ill. And so we go to look at how did we get here? And the other thing, several things that could be causing us to be there, we just not trained that in our regular schooling. And, you know, so nobody tells you, okay, maybe, you know, it's the toxins in the environment.
Right.
You don't think?
Let me ask you something too. Being from Africa, it's a different philosophy around medicine because there are still village people that practice medicine. Age old girl, I went to Jamaica and I had a headache from the night before because I was drinking. And I go over to the lady had all these, you know, different little condiments on her table. And I said, do you have anything for a headache? She says, oh, just drink this herb. Well, I was like, after what I went through last night, I'm not drinking nothing else. But it's a different culture because they use the actual plants because the plants are medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And the herbs and they connect with the soul and the energy and the body in a different way. In some cultures, they still practice voodoo. Voodoo is not, anti-Christ. It is a way of communicating spiritually with their native tribe. Blood sacrifices, it's just cultural brain. So, you know, don't be oohing and aahing. Check this out, because functional medicine is different. It's going to, like you said, to the root cause of what's going on. Sometimes people be getting treated for, you know, for lung cancer, and it might have started in their colon. It's how do you help people figure that out? Through blood tests, through their genetics, their DNA? How do you help them figure out what's going on?
There's actually all of that, but mostly labs. Just it could be urine or stool or blood sample to see how the body breaks down whatever you take in or whatever it excretes. And whatever it's breaking down, you follow backward in that path to see how does it create what is the beginning product to end up in this area, in this end product. So you work backwards to find what's going on in there. So if whatever you find, you say, okay, this is what we found. So it's released in the liver, it's released in whatever part of your intestines, colon, whatever. Mm-hmm. And from there, it gives you an idea of what's going on or where the problem is starting from. So it's not the same for everyone.
No, it's not. And like, again, like I said, discovering that, but though, was I right though about the cultural differences as far as the, you know, the treatment and diagnosis of some illnesses in a different country?
Absolutely. I've actually been treated with that. And every once in a while I hear about it here and I laugh. I'm like, my grandmother did that. You know, the part where you have an inflammation and they maybe place a bead and put some salve, whatever salve they put on there.
Right.
That is me. And when I see it happen here, I'm like, oh my gosh, that is something I'm familiar with.
Exactly. You know, it's the old remedies, because the body has only changed because we've, genetically modified it in so many different ways. What we do, people that self-medicate, the disease that builds up, the stress and anxiety. So you have a coaching program. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. So with my non-satisfaction with the way I saw my patients come back, and I thought of what else I could actually do, because this wasn't satisfying to me either, because they called me with too many questions. What am I going to do? Should I take this medication I was given by the doctor? And so I found out about a coaching program to learning to be a health coach and also training as a functional medicine. And so here, when I trained and I told them, checking in clients, I was amazed at the kind of people I met. I mean, yes, they have diabetes, which is where I like to specialize in. And we would start with what we need to get out of their life in order to find them, you know, to find them. You know, people don't put themselves first. And that's usually, and most of the time, the issue, you know, including me. It's hard to put yourself first, but you find that it's dragged you into this illness. So when I looked at the people that came to me, you know, they say, I'm too busy. What is going on? Well, I don't eat until 2 in the afternoon. And then, you know, I'm trying to fast, but you're not really fasting because you're drinking coffee all day. You don't eat. And then you have a sweet soda before bedtime. And then your numbers are out of work. And it's like, let's back up. You're really stressed out. The problem is not that you're not eating. You're not eating enough. So the problem is not that you're eating terribly. You're just not eating and your life is stressed. And like, let's back up. And they're like, oh, you mean I don't have to count calories? Like, no.
Right. No. And you, mindful eating, you know, what you put in your mouth, is it healthy? You know, I just say this, does this come off of a vine or is this alive? Then that just kind of takes all the guesswork. And what I've been doing to myself too, and I'm doing pretty good at it, I'm not going out to eat. I'm not.
Yeah.
I go to the grocery store. I love the grocery store. And I go there and I buy fresh fruits and vegetables and I'm out. And just because I'm out, I got into the habit, I feel that I need to go eat something. I said, no, I tell myself, I come home, I eat, I've worked on my sleep. I give myself a bedtime because that is when the body restores itself. You know, I try to take a probiotic so I have a good elimination. So I'm getting the machine working. I'm getting it working and I'm doing some exercise, got some roller skates, but it's mind, body, spirit. It's about understanding where you are. If you are on medicine, sometimes, you know, people are going to have to do that. Now we know that, Esther, we can't, you know, pretend that they're not going to need it and they may need it for a lifetime.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
But what you can do is every aspect of your life, brain doesn't have to be in chaos. You know, you could have irritable bowel syndrome, but you know, take care of the rest of your body, your upper body, eat right, all those kind of things. A lot of stuff you can do. Esther, thank you so much for being here on The Edge with me and my brains. You've been a wealth of information and you won the lottery. That's a beautiful story. I love that. That makes me so happy. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you.
So yes, I see people on, I actually have a website called thewellnesspathfinders.com. And that's because I like to think that we are all on the path to being well. And then I'm on social media, on Facebook, on LinkedIn, under my name, Esther Onyoni. And then also on my email, eonyoni@gmail.com. I like to
You gotta slow down and say that and spell it. It just rolls off your tongue like magic. So tell them, because people want to contact you.
Yes, my email, eonyoni@gmail.com. Just like my last name. And I like to talk to people about just seeing a difference in their, making a difference in their life besides just besides taking the medication. They need to take that, but then also go beyond that because they are their own advocates for their health.
Exactly. Let me ask you just a couple more questions because I did want to ask you some questions before we conclude. You have how many daughters?
Oh, yes. Well, I have two sons and one daughter. The baby.
Okay, so you have one daughter. So what are you pouring into your daughter about the life that you lived in Kenya, what you experienced there, winning the lottery, coming here? What encouraging words are you providing into her soul?
Okay. I think she also has won a lottery because she doesn't have to grow up the way I grew up. I was more restricted, more like, okay, you're a girl. Okay, so I was a tomboy, but it was cut short for me because they say, you're a girl, you can climb up that tree, but I love to climb a tree. So I tell her, put on your tights and get up that tree, girl.
Right, that's right. And be the person that you are. Exactly. What do you want your legacy to be?
My legacy to be that I was able to see beyond what I do, as in what I was trained, to what is really practical and realistic for people to do and just be better off than what we're used to seeing in our regular life. Mm-hmm.
What would you tell a 25-year-old young girl in Kenya, Esther, that's struggling, that just thinks that there's no way out? What would you say to her?
Oh, yes. So definitely, that's my future mission. And I will tell her that she just has to step outside of the village because that's the reason they don't see a way out is because they haven't stepped out to go to the next village even. And that there is a different way of seeing things and that this is not the end. They have to keep going.
That's right. And to be encouraged because there's a world of opportunity out there. But when you're trapped or not trapped, you're just isolated. You don't see anything outside of, and there's a lot of people here in the United States, believe it or not, that don't leave their community, that don't mix with other people. They're missing out so much on life. Well, I'm so glad to have you here with me on The Edge. What's the postcard? Here we go.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you. Now, friends, check out your functional medicine because what you can do is you can do some preventive stuff. You can do some maintenance. You might even find a healing, right?
Oh, Justin? Yeah.
All right. Take care of yourself, brains.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.